Blog Talk Radio.
I know I need to hear some music.
I thought
what is the problem? This how we gonna come back? Really?
I thought it was going to play on its own. It was set up to do that.
Welcome to Black Women Talk, the weekly podcast about the taboo topics that we all desperately try to avoid, but deep down really want to discuss. Yes, I'm talking about politics, race, sex, and religion, and anything else that we deem needs to be covered and discussed. Join us every Monday, 8 p.m., right here at blogtalkradio.com/Black Women Talk with Rhonda and Renee.
Yeah, enough of that. Just play the theme song.
On its own. I don't know what happened. I have it set up to just autoplay.
There's a huge delay in front of that, but that's okay. That's all right. We're going to work that out.
Okay, we'll work that out. All right. Well, welcome everyone to Black Women Talk 2.0. So, Rhonda and I have been away for, you know, 153 weeks, and we've been busy. So we thought we'd get started with our first show back of just talking about what's been going on, what we've been doing, and then give you a idea of where we're going from here, some new things that we're going to be doing with Black Women Talk as we come back. And I'd first like to welcome my co-host, Rhonda James. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Renee.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm doing very, very, very well.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Me siento bastante bien.
Oh.
For all my Latinas.
Oh, nice. Nice. I will just say bonne nuit for my French-speaking people.
Oh.
Obviously, we've been taking language lessons. So what's going to happen with Black Women Talk? Again, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on. We have two new segments we're adding to the show, and we're switching things up a little bit. If you have comments, questions, anything like that, we're going to invite you to participate in a couple of different ways. One is on Twitter. Our handle is Black Women Talk. Feel free to send anything there, and we will check that. We have a Facebook page, Black Women Talk Podcast, and you can check us out on Facebook there. Or if you have something you really want to get off your chest, we invite you to email us or send us a voicemail to blackwomentalk@gmail.com. And you can use the voice memo feature on your phone. Save it, and then send it to us at that email address. So that's the best way to get in contact with us. So what's been going on, Rhonda?
Well, nothing much. You know, as we talked about coming back and doing the show, my mind kind of wondered, like, what was happening during that time period? I guess maybe 2013, 2014 was the last time we were kind of on the show. So a lot of stuff has been happening during that time. You know, ISIS, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter, Donald Trump, migrants fleeing to Syria, Mike Brown, Eric Garner, Laquan McDonald, Sandra Bland, all this other stuff has been going on. So I feel like we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I think we, you know, might want to discuss a little bit of those things, or a little bit talk about them, maybe. Well, I just go through a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is going to strike some memory chords going off in your brain, but like Caitlyn Jenner, that's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court affirming same-sex marriage, that's something we probably need to talk about. I'm a little sports fan, so Tom Brady and his cheating Patriots, that might be something to talk about. A lot of people dying recently. Prince, we lost Maya Angelou. We lost the comedian Robin Williams, Joan Rivers. We've lost quite a few interesting characters. A lot of people that had an influence, especially Maya Angelou, had a big influence on my life. We just talked about a little bit more about sports, Ray Rice and domestic violence in the NFL, Adrian Peterson, concussions. We want to talk about Bill Cosby and the rape allegations. That just kind of came and disappears. Hillary Clinton's emails, the Ebola epidemic, the Malaysian Airlines. You and I talked about that for a little while. Like, what happened? Where is this huge 767 or 747 plane? Where is it? There's a lot of going on in Ukraine. The Syrians fleeing. ISIS, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. So that's why a lot of people are fleeing from Syria, because of all the conflict that's going on there. I think one of the biggest things that I kind of gave their names is a lot of forced fatalities by, you know, forced by police brutality. Cuba has been opened up a little bit more. There's a little bit talked about getting to Cuba. So there's a lot of different political things going, sports going on, deaths that we've experienced. So I kind of wanted to, that was a lot of stuff that's happened since the last time we've been on the show. So to all of our listeners, we have a lot of things that we want to talk about. I know that in our last, I guess, Black Women Talk first version, I guess, we did a lot about relationships, and we'll still talk about those. But we want to get into a lot of other realms, because there's a lot of things going on, especially with things that are important to us. We still have, there was one topic that I wrote down. Hold on just one second, Renee.
Mm-hmm.
We still have our African girls missing
mm-hmm.
for 2 years now. That was huge, and still nobody's doing anything about that. So there's a lot going on that we can talk about that is outside of relationships. But now, Renee and I just want to talk about what's been going on with us. Why haven't we been doing the show? Renee and I kind of talked a little bit today. I was like, you know, Renee and I haven't even really been talking much, because so much has been going on, I know, for me personally. And I'm going to share something with you guys about my life that has been significant and a huge impact on my life that I think all of African Americans need to talk about, and that's mental health. I about 2010, I was probably going through it at that particular point in time. My son was very ill. He was in his junior year of high school, and he graduated in 2011. But from 2011 up until, I guess, today, we're still dealing with it. He's been diagnosed as being bipolar, with being schizoaffective. We just recently discovered a perfect combination for him that seems to be working. And he hasn't, his last episode was probably March of last year. So things just really took a huge impact on me in terms of trying to figure out whether my son was smoking marijuana, which he was. But that was only to deal with the mental anguish or the mental health aspect of that he was going through, having anxiety. There's a lot of different symptoms that I won't go into, because I try to stay away from that. But we can talk about that later on in subsequent shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to give you guys a really a feeling of what I have been going through. And I'll give you the most recent activity. And he's no longer living with me, because it escalated to a point where he violently attacked me. I think that a lot of times when we see it on TV about kids killing their parents, there's a lot of things going on, and it could be both drugs and mental health, but I would, in my case, it was both. But we really need to pay attention to our children because they are experiencing much more different environment than we're experiencing, and they're not made out of the same stuff that we're made out of.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, he had one of his moments and a little bit of a psychosis, a rage, actually, at that particular point in time. I actually did suffer with him going through psychosis for probably a month before I initially got him to, or coerced him to, go to the doctor. But I probably spent maybe a year of my life going to bed at night with my bedroom door locked, but still trying to provide a place for my son to be safe and for myself to be safe, and trying to figure out and work out what was really going on with him.
Wow.
It's not many people that I've really told that to, but I have come to terms with it. I think that a lot of times for African-American people, we have a tendency to hide our problems. We cover them up because we're ashamed, and I think that was a lot of what I dealt with, but I, over time, eventually started talking about it. The more I was able to talk about it was easier for me to educate myself. It was easier for me to understand and learn that I just wasn't in it by myself, and it's a commonplace
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people, and some people go through it, and they have productive lives. So right now my son is on a good path. He and I have definitely reconciled. I mean, I didn't tell you, I'm sorry. After he attacked me, had to call the police. The police took pictures. Thankfully, my niece was here to help me. I don't think if my niece were here, I don't know if I would be talking to you guys today. That's how
wow.
scary that moment was and how real it was for me. But they basically, I didn't press charges. They pressed charges. We ended up going to court, and I can remember the attorney coming and asking me, "Mom, what do you want done?" And I said, "I want him medicated." I said, "I don't want him to go to jail because I know that there was something wrong. I want him to definitely take his medication because I knew when he was taking his medication, he would be fine."
Mm-hmm.
So it took us a while to finally get him in a place where they mandate that he takes his medication. He was on probation for a year. I also let them know that I was worried about his use of drugs, and he was monitored for drugs, so that if he, through those stipulations, if he were to violate those, then he would have to go to jail. But that's a very tough place to put any parent in. But I had to do what I had to do, and I felt more like I was saving his life than mine, but that I had to take those precautions and do what I needed to do.
Wow.
But it was a tough road getting there. So that, to be honest, that really took up all of my life and every chance I had from day to day. And when you're in it, you don't even have time to even talk about it. I don't think that you and I talked about it, and maybe sparingly here and there. But when you're
yeah.
in the trenches, you do not have time to reflect. You are working toward a solution.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's really the main thing that's been that I've been focused on. There was a time when I thought my son would either commit suicide because I knew how painful it was for him. And that was the only thing that really helped me not give up on him, because I knew it is an illness. Even though it put my life in danger, I had to always tell myself, he is sick. It's just like any other sickness, just like diabetes, just like cancer. If they don't take the medication, they won't be helped. So it's been a trying few years. but I'm still here. I'm 20, 30 pounds heavier, but I'm here. Thank God I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much that's been going on with me for the most part, Renee. So what's been going on with you?
Wow. First I wanted to say I just really appreciate you being just open and honest with that, because I know that that's not easy to talk about. And we did talk a little bit, you know, sparingly here and there about it. And I remember those conversations and how difficult it was for you during that time, how scary it was. So I applaud you for the stamina to get through it and for being willing to share it. So, and I think that definitely we should do a show on mental health in the African American community, or in the community for people of color, if you will, because I think there's definitely a stigma around that for us, and it's something that I noticed that. I think white people are very open about. I've been to parties where they're asking each other who their therapist is. So they're very, you know, they seem to be far more accepting of that than we are. So I just commend you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I want to add, too, I didn't just do it by myself. I have counseling. I have life coaches. I would definitely send my son to more than just psychiatrists. There were psychiatrists, there were psychoanalysts. It was a lot of work and reaching out into the foreign lands of mental health and trying to figure out the best ways to make things happen. I mean, he is now 23. So at 18, you have no legal rights to any of his information. You can pay insurance. You can do whatever you can financially, but you will not have rights unless they give you rights to see their medical history. And that was a point in time when my son completely cut me off. When he was going through those moments, I had no knowledge of what he was taking, how well he was doing, nothing. So there's so much that I can really tell you about what happened. I mean, I can remember one episode where he literally got on a bus and went to New York City. No cell phone.
Wow.
The only way I was able to get in contact with him was I was watching, because he always had a laptop, watching when he logged in on the computer and just seeing if he would have a conversation with me. I remember going to, where was the? I believe Patterson, New Jersey, looking for him. And when he was psychotic, he couldn't really tell me where he was. And I cannot tell you to this day, other than it was the grace of God that helped me find my son in Patterson, New Jersey.
Wow.
There were many nights I thought that my son would be someone living on the street. And I can't tell you, I mean, even now when I think about it, it makes me want to cry, and I don't want to go there because it is a happy time, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to rejoice in that moment, but there are many nights that it was not me. It was by the grace of God that a lot of things happened. The grace of God that I didn't die, the grace of God that he didn't kill himself, that I could find him. So it's not easy. I'm going to tell anybody that's dealing with mental health, it is not easy. And I'm going to say this to a lot of people that let some of their family members go and let them live on the street and let them do what they have to do. I understand and I sympathize with you, and I can't even ask you for anything more because that it is a struggle. It is a struggle when they become of a certain age and you have no right to be able to help them. And I'm really thinking about getting into the legal aspects of it and dealing with HIPAA. Especially when someone, it doesn't make sense if someone is psychotic and they can go to the psychiatrist and tell them what's going on in their head and the psychiatrist and them have an agreement. You have an agreement with a crazy person. They definitely need an advocate at all times.
Yeah.
And I always got the question as to, you know, is he on Medicare or Medicaid? I can't even really remember. I remember arguing with people. It doesn't matter what he's on. I'm trying to get him help. I'm willing to pay anything. And if you are making a certain amount of money, it sometimes it ain't enough. And you'll have to basically give your child or your loved one over to the state because of the circumstances, unless you, the only way out is money.
Yeah.
They will not even talk to you a lot of times if you don't have money. So anyway, I do sympathize with anyone that is dealing with a loved one that has mental health or even themselves dealing with mental health. And at any point in time, I know that we have a lot of faith in God, but God has, just like he has physicians, he has psychologists, he has psychiatrists. If you need help, go and get it. Do not be ashamed to save yourself. Do not be ashamed to save your child. Do not be ashamed to save somebody you love.
I like it. Wow. Great. So, for me, let's see, a lot has been going on my end, too. So, I'm trying to remember when we last did this, 2013. So, I had a business, I had a marketing business I was doing.
I really don't know where to start.
So I had a marketing business I was doing for pharmacies, and I saw some things happening in the industry that I finally decided I need to get out of this. So I, for once, I didn't stay too long at the party. And I decided to close my business. That was a big, scary move for me, was to do that. In the midst of that, my mom had a stroke. And luckily, she knew what was happening, which was amazing. So she called me. I came over, got her. When I saw her face, her right side of her face was kind of drooping. So for people that don't know the signs of stroke, and I know every now and then you hear PSA on this, you look at the face, if it's drooping, that's probably happening. They may not be able to tell you what's going on, so they might not be able to talk to you. And you need to act fast, because the longer that you allow oxygen to not get to the brain, the more damage will be afterwards. So if it's happening, get them or get yourself as quickly as you can to a medical hospital so that they can do something. So she went in the hospital. She was in the hospital about 5 or 6 weeks. And the big thing that kind of happened out of all of this that was so, serendipitous maybe is the word. I'm not sure if that's the right word for this. But before that happened, I had gone to this biking workshop on how to bike in the street, which was something I had never planned on ever doing. I live in D.C. for people that, if you don't remember, I live in D.C. And I never considered biking the street. And I went to this workshop, wasn't planning on doing it. I didn't even bring my bike. And I got tricked because they put me on a rental bike. They put me on one of the Capital Bike Share bikes. And I was like, what? And I rode with the group, and I actually really loved it. That turned out to be something that changed my whole life, that one workshop, because when my mom had her stroke, I was going up to the hospital to see her, and it was $22 a day to park the car. And I'm like, I can't come up here and visit her every day and pay $22 for my car to sit. Like, it's not like they do an oil change or rotate the tires. It's just sitting in this garage. So I told my mom, I said, you know what, I'm going to bike. And she looked at me like, what? I said, I'm just going to bike here. So it was about 8 miles each way. I biked up there to see her every day except Sundays when I took my grandmother. I would drive up there, and parking was free on Sundays. So I biked to see my mom. That turned into me starting a group, which is now I'm turning into a business called Bicycling in the City, where I take people on bike rides to events. So we bike to stuff. A lot of groups just bike out to nowhere, turn around and come back. But I bike, take people like, so we're going to go kayaking. So the biking is like not necessarily the main thing. It's really about the thing we're going to. We just happen to be going there by bike. So it's like my little sneaky way of getting people on a bike. So I'm like, let's go kayaking and we're going to bike there. Let's go stand up paddleboard and we're going to bike there. You know, let's go to the movies and we're going to bike there. So I've got 200 people in the group since I started that, which has been a lot of fun. We've gone out to Baltimore. We've done a lot of cool stuff. And that turned into me working for two local bike agencies, teaching bike safety and leading a women's bike group. So so I've been doing that, which is great because it's been very flexible while I was able to be here to take care of my mom. She's doing fine. She's walking, talking, driving. She's doing everything. She has a little bit of a limp, but she's getting around pretty much great, which I'm very thankful for. So that whole thing just kind of exploded. I've been in an international magazine for biking. I've been interviewed on podcasts. It's just been like this explosion, kind of crazy, all because of a bike. So that's been just amazing.
No, all because of parking for $22 a day? Was that an hour?
That's per day, yeah.
Yeah,
oh
my goodness.
Isn't that insane? So that's happened. I met somebody, I think, like, right after we stopped the show last time, because I met him, I think, at the end of the show. So I met someone.
You know, I think it was during the show, wasn't it?
It may have been. If we did it in 2013, it must have been, because I met him at the end of 2012, so... yeah, that could be right. So I met someone. His name is Jeff. He's a meteorologist. And we met online on Match. He is he's funny and sweet and just he makes me laugh. He's a great guy. And we got engaged in January, near my birthday actually, this year. So there's
that's another reason why we don't have to have relationship shows. Thank you, Jesus.
That has been really awesome. It's been great. We've traveled. We just have a great time. I've tried all kinds of foods and cooking and like all kinds of things with him. And we just have a really great time together. He has even, and I never ever thought this would happen, he has even gotten me to like a sport, baseball, which is the sport that I thought I would never, ever, ever, ever watch. And I'm like a huge Nationals fan now. It's disgusting.
Renee, so who's the pitcher for the Nationals?
Tonight, I think, let's see, last night was Scherzer,
Girl, I'm teasing. I don't know nothing about no
Nationals. I don't know.
I'm teasing. I don't even know who the pitchers are.
Game is delayed, so I don't know. But yeah, so we've been to games, we've traveled, we've had a really good time. So that's what's happening in my daughter graduated from college, y'all, not high school, college.
Yes.
Yeah. That has been like awesome and amazing and crazy that I have a kid that is old enough to be out of college, 2 years out of college. She didn't just graduate like this May. This is her second year out of college. I'm like, what? How are you this old? So, yeah, so that's happened. And for me, I guess I think talking about some of the topics that we're going to have coming up. There have been so many things that have been going on for us personally, as well as things we've seen in the media that we gotta talk about this. Like for me, a lot of things that have been coming up have been very race related. A lot of terms that come up like diversity and equity and inclusion. And, you know, I see a lot of that in the fields that I work in. And it's like grating at me. I'm just like, oh my God. So
from the little bit you disclosed with me, it doesn't mean what we think it means.
It does not mean what we think it means. And so I definitely have, we've talked about doing a show on that because I've talked about it so much, especially in the bicycle space movement that I'm in, and it's something that comes up a lot. But I also noticed that everything has to be studied and committed to death instead of just, you know, acting on it. It's just like thing inclusive. So that's something that I definitely like to discuss, because I don't know if that comes up for other people. I think we all just, when you're a person of color, or, and I've learned to hate that term, so when you're like black or brown people, or non-white people, race is like an everyday thing for you. It's something you talk about all the time, probably, or it comes up a lot more than maybe you even recognize. It's just a part of your life. But I've worked a lot with a lot of non-black and brown people, and it's not a part of their world. It's not something they talk about ever, because you don't have to. And so when it comes up, there's a whole lot of stuff that you deal with. And I think we've seen that with Trump becoming the Republican nominee. And we've seen it a lot with President Obama being president for the past 8 years. I think we've all seen how race plays out. And in social media, we see it, because everybody's behind a screen and people just get mean and nasty, and they just say a lot of stuff that I don't know if they would say it in your face. I'd like to believe that we wouldn't, but I'm beginning to believe that people would just say anything at this point. So I think talking about those things here in this space would be a good place to kind of discuss it. And how do you navigate it? Because I'd like to know how people navigate it when you are the only person of color in a room, or you have been included, or you've been invited, but have you been included? And that's very different in my world. And it's, you know, I've found it in other spaces. They think it's the same. Invited equals included, and that's not true. So
it's very different, Renee. With me working in the corporate world, I experience it all of the time. And yeah. I actually think that in one way, I think that the social media and what we've been able to capture on video is actually more of a confirmation for us for the things that we have thought was happening, but we couldn't really put our finger on it. You know how it feels like racism, but you can't really say it. And then when you do try to approach it, the words and the terminology are switched around to make us feel like it's us. Now I think with the media, in a positive role, has been able to really exemplify or show it to us and confirm that we are not crazy. Mm-hmm. It is in existence. Even some of the word, the conversation, whether that's Twittering and whether people do blogs, you're able to now see it much more flagrant than it's ever been before. And I think that does, you know, with Obama becoming president, I think America is really showing its true colors, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think in the beginning I was shocked, and now, you know, 3/4 months in, I'm almost numb. It's like, wow, this is happening, you know, and people are serious. So I know that those are going to be some topics we discuss, and we have a list of things. And like Rhonda said, we'll do relationships, but it's not going to be the crux of our show like it was last time. It'll be the thing, you know, it'll be in there, but it won't be like, yeah, this week we're going to talk about, you know, how to find a person or online dating or whatever. It's going to be what's really happening in the world, because there's a lot more happening than how do I find, you know, how do I date somebody and should I pay for the meal? There's a lot more happening than that. So what are some of the topics?
I forgot that. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Renee, to cut you off. I talked about one of the, I guess, kind of a catch-22 situations that happened in my life, but I've had some very positive and wonderful things to happen in my life, even in spite of what was happening with my son. I've been to Greece. I've been to Rome, mm-hmm. Italy. Mm-hmm. I have my new super friend, Crystal. We mm-hmm. do photography. We hang out together. There's a lot of good, positive things that are happening in that time span where even though my son was going through it, I have been able to continue to travel and will continue to keep traveling. This next traveling excursion that I'm going on will be to the Galapagos Islands. And before we head off to the Galapagos Islands, we will be in Lima, Peru, doing a service program for helping children at the school there. I've also been to Belize and swam in the Blue Hole, which was a very interesting perspective. I don't scuba dive, but I do snorkel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very interesting excursion and a very nice trip that I took. And the snorkeling was amazing. So I'm still crossing off things on my, bucket list of doing some wild and crazy things, I guess. So it's just that I just wanted to talk about that as being the main, you know, issue of why it was. I had a lot of mothering to do,
mm-hmm.
and that took a lot of my time. But I was definitely out doing some things. I also had some more kind of sad things because I had since I left. I think the last time I did a show I was in Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
Or maybe I did one show. Well, I moved to New Jersey. Ugh. Don't like it, and I'm not afraid to say it. New Jersey sucks. And I'm sorry for people that are from New Jersey. I still love you, but New Jersey sucks. So I haven't been able to ride my motorcycle like I would in Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania has a lot of open roads and land. So I actually sold my motorcycle, and I'm really sad about that. But that's not to say that one day I won't be able to get back on the motorcycle. But I did have to let that go for that reason, and the fact that I actually had another knee surgery, I think maybe even two since the last time
I
was on the show. Mm-hmm. So I tore my ACL in my right knee, and I also tore the meniscus. And I think that was since the last time we talked. I mean, my most recent surgery was this year in January. So it's been rocky for me in a lot of different ways, but I would also say, like I said, I've been to Belize. I've been to Italy. I've been to Greece. That was a really good experience. And other places I can't really think of right now. It's been a trying few years for me, but it's only to make you stronger.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, you can. I mean, what are you gonna do? Roll with it. I think the biggest thing that I have learned, and I will say this since we have not been on the show, that you know they give you the adage about it makes you stronger. What I don't think it necessarily makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you accept being weak, allowing yourself to rely on God, and allowing you to not panic, because you'll learn that through panic and fear, you will not come up with the answer. When you are relaxed, when you can think, when you are calm, when you have a peace about you, the resolution comes much faster. You're able to jump that hurdle much better than you were before. So I have learned that in life you're going to encounter ups and downs. I've just learned how to focus and not let those emotions take control of me. I mean, you're going to have them. And to also listen to my body when I need it. Excuse me, when I needed to cry, I cried. When I needed to relax,
mm-hmm.
I needed to relax. If I needed to to be precise or be angry. I think a lot of times for me, society, you know, it's we looked at negatively when we are being adamant or presenting our case, or some people may say that, you know, we're the headed angry black woman syndrome. I learned to not let that drown my voice out and make me be quiet. I knew how to speak when to speak, and how effective and how forceful I needed to be. I learned to use my anger to my advantage and not to my disadvantage.
That's
so
good.
I guess that is, if you want to consider that to be a strength, then okay. But I just learned different techniques of dealing with the situation, and have really matured much more than I thought I was. You know, sometimes you get a big head, and I think in the show you guys have probably heard me and realized that, you know, I do have, I'm very opinionated and may even have some good advice, but nothing makes you better than going through some certain situations and coming to terms with your ability to deal with different things. And sometimes you're incapable, and sometimes you are capable. But it takes determination through all of it and believing that there's a resolution. So.
Yeah. I agree. You do realize how strong you are in certain situations. You also realize how weak you are, and I think it also causes you to seek help when you need it, because sometimes I think especially for black women, and I'll throw in the independent part in commas, in inverted commas, that we tend to just be in autopilot. Like, I have to get this done. I got to go. I got to get this done. And something happens, and you realize, I can't do this anymore. I need help. And so I think it humbles you to say, I need help, which I've learned allows other people's strengths to shine through, because sometimes we're so busy doing things and other people are like, well, I guess she has it. And they have talents and strengths that we could easily, I'd say take advantage of, we could easily use if we allow them to. But if we're always like, I got it, then other people don't know when we need help, and they don't step in when we need help because we got it. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you something interesting that I did learn is that I realized how powerless I was.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is going to sound interesting, but I realized that the power was not mine. And once I gave up trying to control everything, then things fell fell in line with the way they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll get this on your way, but in life, you're going to realize that you have no power.
Yeah.
And sometimes the more you fight against it, or the fight to try to change it, the worse your situation is going to be. Sometimes you have to give up and allow the process to be the process.
Yeah.
Period.
And it's actually kind of freeing to let go of the power, to just kind of let go and, like, I don't know how this is going to go, but it might actually be fun. And I know if people like to control it, that's hard to do. That's easier said than done. But, sometimes it's kind of, like you say, you get to a point where you don't have any power, so you have to let it go. So our topic.
Well, go ahead, Renee. Yes. So where are we in the hour? Oh, we have 15 minutes.
We actually have about 45. It was a 90. I did 90 minutes.
What?
Just in case.
Girl, you're trying to kill me. I'm going to pour another glass of wine here.
I'm going to need you to not be tempted on the show, okay?
So, I'm perfectly fine.
No, I know. Just in case. So some of the topics we have coming up, so we definitely want people to participate through voicemail at Gmail. You can send a voicemail. You can use your voice memo on your phone, record it, save it, and then send that as an attachment in Gmail to blackwomentalk@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is at Black Women Talk, and on Facebook we're at Black Women Talk Podcast. So some of the topics we have coming up, though, are who should get the black vote. And this is something, of course, if you've been watching this election year, if you've been anything like me, you have been in shock. Like, I know August or June when Trump first announced and he came out talking about, we need to build a wall and the Mexicans are rapists and murderers. They're not sending their best. And I guess some of them are good people. I think everyone thought, there's no way he's going to get past, you know, and get the nomination, ha, ha, ha. You know, there's 17 other people, and now we're here. And so, you know.
What, are you disappointed that Kanye didn't actually run or something? What, you would prefer him over Donald Trump?
You know,
I would probably think so.
So there's that. So, you know, we definitely have to talk about that. But the thing that we'd really like to discuss in this is that we have Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side. And for the last four decades, I guess, Democrats have pretty much assumed our vote. They don't work for it. They don't earn it. They just assume it's there. And Republicans do not fight for it because they just assumed it's going to the Democrats. So we have to start really being savvy and look at what's happening and who really deserves our vote. Like, what do people stand for? What do they believe in? I'm not saying you should vote Republican. I'm not saying that you should not vote Democrat. I'm saying we need to know what's happening. We need to be informed citizens on the entire ballot, because what often, I know for me, I've gone into the ballot booth back in 2008, and I remember going in and everything was so focused on the presidential election. And then you get in the voting booth and you see like 15 other things to vote for. There's all these referendums, there's all these bonds, there's sheriffs, there's a city clerk, county clerk, there's state's attorneys, there's Congress people, senators, and we have no clue. Like, I've gone into the booth, like, I remember saying her name when I walked in. I promised myself in 2008 I would never, ever vote like that again, because that's how I voted. And though I don't expect at any point to come face-to-face with a sheriff or a judge for something, you know, these people do affect our lives in some ways far more than Trump, Clinton, or Bernie Sanders will, because these are the people you deal with at the city and state level who affect your taxes and how things are going to go, whether you're going to get a Whole Foods or an Aldi, whether you're going to get, you know, another Chinese restaurant in your area or nothing at all, or a new park with a baseball field. So these are the kind of things that I think we need to be aware of as citizens in our states. The other topic we have coming up, so I think that's going to be next week. The other topic we have coming up, my personal favorite, is going to be diversity, inclusion, and equity. I hate all of those words equally. We need to talk about this because it's happening along with gentrification in many cities across America. And if you're in a position where you feel like you're not being heard or listened to, this is the topic for you.
Do you think you don't like those words because of the way they're being defined by people of a certain race, or you just don't like it at all?
I don't. Well, you know what's happened. They're words that are like, they become buzzwords in a sense in certain fields. So it's sort of, to me, it sounds like when people go, let's think outside the box. It's one of those cliche terms that's lost its meaning along the way. All of them have kind of lost meaning, and people are using them interchangeably. So they don't mean what I think people think they mean. And it's also not happening because people are just talking about it. It's like, let's just do it. Like, let's not form another committee to talk about it. Let's just make it happen. It shouldn't be that hard to include non-white people into a space. It just shouldn't. It shouldn't be so hard that we need ridiculous to
do. Well, more to come, because I have quite a few thoughts about that one.
Yes. So there's that. Gentrification in a city. How is that affecting you? What do you think about it? Is it affecting you? We're going to talk about what it is and how long it's been going on, and also what it means, because, and why people are fighting it, and what can you do about it? Jeff and I were just in South Carolina last month, and we were in the Charleston area, went to Edisto Beach, and we went to this part of South Carolina called St. Helena's. It's where, and it has the first black school for freed slaves there. That's where it was anyway, at the Penn School. And while we were there on this island, they were telling us how people on this island, 85% black, fought to keep all of the developers out of it. And they have managed to keep it just the way it is. And I was amazed, because I thought, how did they do that? Because in so many cities across America, and I've had this discussion in the bike movement space, what happens is, people, they want to put bike lanes and protected bike lanes in places. I have stayed relatively silent on this because I realize that the issue is bigger than just putting a line or, something down the road. Because what happens in a lot of times, and I finally said this in a group, I said, well, let me tell you why people are fighting it. Because black people have been here in D.C. for years, and no one has cared about us. Like things we needed, grocery stores, banks, like restaurants, just basic needs. We haven't had it. Now it's gentrifying, and all of these white people are moving into the city. They're building houses that no one can afford to live in, and condos everywhere. And the bike lane is a symbol of we won't be here much longer, because it's not something anybody's ever cared about. And I said, and typically, let me tell you the progression of what happens. A bike lane shows up, and then there's a coffee shop, not a Starbucks, but some independent coffee shop shows up. And then there's a dog studio or dog park, and then there's a hot yoga studio, and then there's a Whole Foods, and now you can't live here. There's no way you can afford to live there once a Whole Foods shows up. And so now all these people are being displaced. So that's why there's such a clash for gentrification, and people come in, they're like, well, you just need to share the space. Well, why? Like, why do I need to share this space? or you can come in and enjoy the space as it is. But why does the space have to be changed? Because you showed up. Because we've been wanting it to be changed for years and nobody cared. So there's a whole topic around it, which I think is where a lot of the stuff you see where all of the, Make America Great Again comes in, where people are mad because they can't have a space now that, that they just want. I want this space, and why can't they just move, kind of thing. So that's going on in almost every major city across America, and it's very frustrating to see it happen. And so that's something that we'll be discussing. And
were you able to figure out how they managed to even keep that area to themselves?
They fought the developers, and they came up with a law, if you will, that says that you can't come in here and develop a bunch of condos and push us out.
I would like to know what that is.
I'd like to know how long they took to get that, but I thought it was awesome, and it's a beautiful area. It's quiet. It doesn't have a ton of it doesn't have a lot of developed stuff there. So yes, you have to go, back into Beaufort, 10, 12 miles to do stuff. But I love that they decided we're on this beautiful island. It's the, like I said, it's the place where the first African American school was for freed slaves. It has one of the oldest church ruins there. It has, and the Penn Center now is this place where they have like the oldest church. One of the oldest churches is still there that the slaves built. It's the place where Martin Luther King Jr. wrote his I Have a Dream speech, and his retreat house is right there on the water. It's beautiful, and it's just as it is. It does not need a condo. It doesn't need a hot yoga studio. It does not need a freaking Whole Foods. It doesn't need it. And
And
you have to go somewhere else to get some coffee. You can, or you can get it in your house. Like, I like that they were able to do that, because I think that's important to be able to have some part of your own history and self there, and they maintain that. The other thing I have on the list is about transgender bathrooms. Rhonda and I have been talking about this. I've actually been talking about this with a lot of people because I thought something happened. I was like, what happened? It's like, are transgender people like running into bathrooms and molesting people? Or what is going on? So that's a topic that we're going to discuss. And then the last one I have on my list anyway is about, the title is actually called So Now Drugs Matter, because in the 80s and 90s there was this huge war on drugs, and everybody, you know, if you had this, you know, small amount of whatever on you, you went to jail. And now all of a sudden we have all these people on prescription pain pills who are now escalating to heroin, and now it's an addiction and it's something that needs to be treated.
So, it's not a war on drugs.
It's not a war on drugs anymore. It's an addiction. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a little issue with that. I understand it, but I got an issue with it. So we're going to talk about that. So what's on your list, Rhonda?
Oh, well, you know, we have tons of stuff that we want to talk about. You know, who gets the black vote and why, what happens to police brutality. It just seems to just automatically kind of just quiet down. Black on black crime or police brutality. You know, when we talk about police brutality, people always want of a different ethnicity. Ones like, you guys need to address the black on black crime. So, but which one should we be most concerned about and why? What are the black women's concerns, and what should we be concerned about? I think a lot of times we don't even really realize or really even talk about. I feel like sometimes we talk a lot about the black man's issues, but not necessarily the black woman's issue, whether it's equal pay. I mean, the Nigerian girls have been missing for 2 years. Where are they? You know, no one speaks up for the black woman and some of the issues that we have. The debate about Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. What does boycotting do?
Yeah,
boycotting.
Yeah.
What does it do? What do we need to do? What is our agenda? What is the most important thing that we need to come together on and focus on and make priority? What happened to the role of the black church? I can recall going to church and knowing about the political process. And they would tell you, and not necessarily tell you, but they would educate you on who was running for whatever. And if we had someone that was running for something that was important to us as a people, it was announced at the church, and we were encouraged to go and vote for that particular person. But the mega churches have taken over, but they haven't taken over or created a blueprint the way that Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all of them have done. They're just nothing during that era. During that era, the churches were deeply involved and really in the forefront of the movement. Now we have ministers meeting with Donald Trump. Okay, thanks, but no thanks. Why we won't support black-owned businesses, or are we supporting black-owned businesses? What's the effects of social media? We really need to think about that. I know a lot of people are going to be hating on me now, but as we speak, I'm missing hip-hop, reality TV show. So, yes, Housewives of Atlanta and all of these reality TV shows, what is that really doing to us? Is that a real benefit, or are we getting lulled to sleep at the wheel? What is this making America great about? What does that mean? you know, is America bad? What does that mean when we hear in the political race, let's make America great again?
That's what that means. I have so many thoughts on
colorism.
What that means.
colorism. I know you guys have seen some of our black women bleaching themselves to death. Colorism. We need to really talk about that. So, I mean, we got a lot of stuff that we could be talking about, Renee. You've mentioned some. I mentioned a few. I don't know how much time we have left, but I know that Renee and I have come up with a concept that during the show, maybe not every show, we're going to do give our listeners a weekly challenge. We're going to give you a weekly challenge. And since a lot of our information that we have disclosed and where we're going with the new shows, I want to challenge you to find out about your community. One of the greatest apps that I could have ever downloaded on my phone and my iPad is iCitizen.
Mm-hmm.
A really good app. If you don't know where you stand politically, if you don't know what's going on in the nation, iCitizen is, and I wish that we were at a point where we could get money for promoting them, but iCitizen is one of the best apps I have ever chose to spend my time on. If you don't want to get the app, go online and go uselections.com. You can use Ballotpedia, that's BALLOTPEDIA.org, Ballotpedia.org. And for the 2016 candidates, they have 2016.candidate-comparison.org. But in the order that I've listed them, those are it's listed in priority. So iCitizen as an app, uselections.com, ballotpedia.org, 2016.candidate-comparison.org.
All right.
I'm challenging every one of you, find out about your community. Find out who you should be voting for. Know who's on your school board. Know where your tax money is going. You're paying it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
If you want a better community, you want better schools, you need to start knowing what's going on in your community. Go to your library. Make it a point to put it out in churches. If we need to really start that effort up, because I know a lot of us go to church. And I'm not going to put my little thought on church and about religion or anything like that, but I know that a lot of people of our ethnicity are really involved in the church.
We'll just do a show on religion.
I'm sorry?
We'll just do a show on religion.
We definitely can. I don't think I've ever told anybody on the show, but my father, when he was alive, was a minister. So I am a PK. And most PKs know what that means. That was a preacher's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And preacher's kids are bad. And I wasn't one of them. But we will do a weekly challenge, and in conjunction with that weekly challenge, and again, I'm going to ask Renee to do the plug. We are going to post some of this on our website, and I'm going to give Renee her that right now. Renee is the IT genius behind all of us, all of this Black Women Talk, and I'm going to say thank you to Renee. Thank you, thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Thank you. I don't You're own welcome. A Twitter account. I'm not a Twitter person. I don't have time to tweet. But that's not to say that I don't love the show enough to not go on there and tweet and figure it out. I can be a little bit savvy when it comes to computers. Sometimes I just choose not to. I like a person to be talking or involved instead of behind electronics to communicate. So, but I want to give Renee her props for that. I really appreciate her for being there for us, for Black Women Talk, and putting everything together. She is awesome.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So we also have another segment called that we're doing called Rhonda Renee Recommends. And this part, Rhonda just recommends. She did a challenge and a Rhonda Recommends at the same time. So she turned me on to, because she's just talented like that. Like, so she just talked about iCitizen. I download that. It is an awesome app. So definitely check that out. Figure out what's going on in your community so you know who should be getting your vote. I'm going to recommend a couple of things that one of the things I didn't, this is part of like what's been going on the last 3 years. I have gotten into podcasts in a crazy, semi-obsessive way. I particularly like true crime. I started out with Serial. If you have not checked out Serial on iTunes, definitely listen to Serial and then go to Undisclosed so that you can get all of the inside, background, legal stuff of Serial. It's the story of about the case of a man. He's a man now named Adnan Syed, and he was convicted of murdering his ex-girlfriend. And the story talks about how it possibly that didn't happen. And you have to listen. I don't want to give it away, but there's so much that happens between Serial and Undisclosed. You have to listen to them both. Serial first and Unclosed. But it's mind-blowing. And it's finally getting people to realize that the criminal justice system might not be as honest as we've all, some of us, have thought it was. Most of us of color know it was a little jacked up. But but I think a lot of people are just now realizing, like, oh, you mean people go to jail and they didn't actually do the crime? Yeah, that happens. So it's an awesome thing. But that actually wasn't even my suggestion. But the podcast that I'd like you to check out, yeah, I just went with that. Like, that's not even the one I'm suggesting, but listen to it if you get a chance. But the podcast I want to suggest to you that I started listening to in South Carolina is called Our National Conversation About Conversations About Race. And it's they haven't picked
up. Wait a minute,
up.
Repeat that? Wait a minute, I'm trying to break that down.
Our National Conversation About Conversations About Race. I know it's a long title. But they it's three people, three co-discussants, as they call themselves. There's Baratunde Thurston. He wrote the book How to Be Black, which I read. It is hilarious. And I learned how to be black. The second co-discussant
is, we're gonna take your black card before we even get into the show.
I read the book. I'm black now. The second co-discussant there is Raquel Cepeda, and she wrote a book called Bird of Paradise: How I Became Latina. And then there's Tanner Colby, who wrote a book called Some of My Best Friends Are Black. So. So the three of them are on the show. They do have people kind of switch out from because, you know, somebody's on vacation or whatever. But they talk about a lot of stuff. And it's interesting. The show, unfortunately, has not picked up this year yet again. So all of the shows from last year, what I found interesting was that they did talk about, like, Donald Trump. And they talked about some things that have already happened. And it's interesting to go back and hear their perspective on it, knowing what you know now. So it's almost like you feel like, oh, I got a crystal ball. I can tell you how that's going to go. It's very interesting because there's Baratunde, who's black, there's Tanner, who's white, and there's Raquel, who is Hispanic. So you get a very nice mixture of opinions and ideas. So that's what I'm recommending, along with my second recommendation is, if you have Audible, go to Audible and get Shonda Rhimes' Year of Yes. It is not a memoir. It's not a self-help book. I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, Shonda, you know. I'm like, it's not that. It's more of a memoir, and it talks about how she was always saying no to everything, and one year she decided, I'm just going to say yes to things that come my way. And it just talks about sort of all of the things that happened because she was open enough to say yes. And it's inspiring. It's funny. She's an awesome storyteller. If you like any of her shows at all, even if you don't like her shows, you should listen to her book, but listen to it. Don't read it. She's really funny on Audible. And I
just
don't know the trend.
Just get Audible.
Yeah.
Is wonderful because,
awesome.
You know, we don't read. So you don't have to read, but you can enjoy
Absolutely.
Books because they're going to read them to you, Black people.
Yeah, they're going to read them to
and
you.
And it's going to work for single parents if you got kids and you don't have time to read. Use the iPad for Audible.
Mm-hmm. And it's late if you're in the car and you're driving along and you want something to listen. Instead of listening to music, put in the audiobook and listen to it. I've read some awesome books on Audible. I'm reading one now. I'm listening to one now called Come As You Are. It's a sex manual, actually. It's really good.
Oh, Lord.
It's so good.
Your name?
What? It's a good book. Get it. That's
my special friend, Renee.
I'm saying, pick the book up. So, yeah, get Audible. I really hope Audible hears this and they'll sponsor us. That would be awesome if we could get Audible as a sponsor. But if we don't, get Audible. But if you do want to help fund our show, I do have this for you. If you want to help fund our little show, because it does cost money to do this, you can go to our website. There's an Amazon link there, and you can purchase whatever you normally purchase from Amazon anyway through our link, and we'll get a couple of, you know, a little percentage of that. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it does help support Black Women Talk. Did you know we did that, Rhonda?
I do now.
I am the IT
girl. You're the IT girl.
I hooked that up for us.
Never, you know, you're the techie hoe. Anything for
right.
technology. Work it, Renee. Work it.
Right. So hopefully people will do that. And that's for us too, Rhonda. We can buy our stuff through Audible. Money comes back to us. So
I have to remember that.
Yeah. Yep. It's right there on our site. So that's my recommendation. So our national conversation about Conversations About Race podcast and Audible's Shonda Rhimes Year of Yes. That's what I'm going to recommend for this week. I have tons of recommendations, and I'll post those on our website. Our website, because I have not mentioned that yet, is blackwomentalkradio.net. That's blackwomentalkradio.net. I'll post that on the Facebook page, also on Twitter. But go there, check out this recording. Next week we're going to be doing Who Should Get Our Black Vote. Is that what we decided to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or What Makes America Great? I actually like that one. So we'll decide. We'll know by next week. So we'll post that.
I'm sure both topics will come up.
So we'll post. I'll have that posted for our next topic. You can meet us back here at 8 o'clock at Black Women Talk. Check us out on blackwomentalkradio.net. Follow us on Twitter at Black Women Talk, Facebook at Black Women Talk, and send us your voicemail and email at blackwomentalk@gmail.com. So,
all right.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Just don't forget the weekly challenge. Plus, that will help you get involved in our conversation for next week.
Yes, because that will help us. And we're doing Rhonda's challenges too. Like Rhonda and I are doing Rhonda's challenges. Rhonda's come up with
yes.
some challenges. I'm already like nervous about. I'm like, what? We can't eat sugar, you know? I should got
no sugar.
No. See, mm-hmm. You know what I mean. So we have like she's got
No, I think I didn't say not eat sugar. I was saying I want you to record and be aware of how much sugar you consume, whether that's drinking it or eating it. Well, not to stop, just become aware of what you're eating, and you'll be surprised. Even stuff that doesn't taste like sugar, guess what? It will have sugar in it. So
that
read the ingredients. But we'll save that challenge for another time. But that was really where that challenge came from.
Yes. So awesome. So, but thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was great to be back. It's great to be with my co-host again, Rhonda James.
2112, Rhonda James.
I have to. Can I tell that story about how that came about? So if you hear us do this,
yes.
Rhonda and I, for those people that are new to Black Women Talk, Rhonda and I met years ago, and we worked together at a place called International Isotopes, and something was happening, and in there we used to make these little seeds for prostate cancer, brachytherapy seeds. We worked in this radioactive environment. Rhonda left out one day, and we needed to do we call it an assay. We needed to, like, check these seeds. Rhonda left out. I didn't know where she was. And so I got on the PA system, and I was calling. I was like, Rhonda James. And I kept calling. So I was like, Rhonda James, 2112, Rhonda James. Because I needed her to call me. And I was like, where is she? We need to do this experiment. So if you ever hear us do that, that is where that's from. That's from back in the day when we worked together. And I was just like, Rhonda James, 2112, Rhonda James.
I could have sworn that day that we had done everything that we needed to do, because we kept, and I'm just going to give a little name shout out right here, Tim Largent. Him and his night crew would screw up every day.
Every day.
So we had to reassay their stuff every morning. So we showed up with their lot and our lot. And I think that day we had three lots. We had done three lots. We had fixed two and done our own.
I
was not about to, I was gone. I said, you know what, I'm going to go upstairs and talk to this nice black man named Kevin Free and probably Walter Leverage. I was just, you know, going to talk to the black people in the company.
I mean, she is name dropping, y'all. She is just putting people on blast right now. She didn't do that. I'm going to call him Kevin. She didn't even do that. She just like, Kevin Free.
No, I just gave you the real name. Kevin Free, Walter Leverage, Tim Largent. Look them up. They exist. They're real.
That's so funny. They are real people.
So, Rhonda James, 2112.
Yes. I needed Rhonda to call me back on extension 2112, and I had, and she's right. We had like three shots a day. I didn't know where she was, and they were just come. These seeds were just coming out of the woodwork. It was hundreds of them that we needed to deal with, and I couldn't find her. And you can't do it alone. It's not a job you can do by yourself. So you have to have two people. So I'm like, where is she?
What was on that day?
Huh?
What was on?
I don't know. I don't know where on was that day. Maybe she had, I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. But we couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't do it without you. I needed you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there, Rhonda James, 21. So, yeah. So that's where that comes. If you ever hear us do that, it's an inside joke. But now you know why we're doing it, what it means. And, yeah, so we've been together a while. We've
been
known each other for quite a while.
That's been about 20 years ago.
Almost. Ooh, eesh. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I had to explain some things to you during that time period, too. We might talk about that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we could probably do a whole show on Coolest Renee.
One phrase. In the same bed? Renee, come on. Let's go now.
Yeah, I've had some moments I'm not very proud of.
Oh, my special friend, Renee.
That's some good times. It's some good times.
So. Well, I'm happy to be back, Renee, and I'm sure that you and I are going to enjoy it during the show. And we hope that people will call in. We hope that people will respond on Facebook, Twitter, and our own website. And let us know what you think. Join in with us, because this is Black Women Talk. Be a part of it.
Yes, yes. And tell us ideas of what you'd like to hear us discuss or what discussions you'd like to be a part of, too. So we'll be doing a poll periodically and just asking, like, yay, what do you think we should be discussing on our show so that we know what the topics are and what people would like to hear. So with that, we're going to sign out. I don't have the music right. I'm sorry. I only have that intro part. So I'll get the music. I don't. I'm sorry. I was looking for it. I was trying to feel like, might have even. So don't be mad.
Good night.
What? I'm sorry, I don't.
I was going to leave the show without our music.
Let me see if I can find it, but I'm serious. I don't have it. I'm
okay.
Looking without the intro. I'm like, I don't have the outro music. Let me see if this one works. I know. You put me in charge of something. I just can't.
That's all I ask is the music. That's the music. That's all I want.
I know. I don't have it. I don't have just that. I don't have just the music part. I only have
okay.
the whole. I'm sorry. So I will get that next week, guys, because I know Rhonda really loves the music. I went back and listened to our first show, and I had some other music, and Rhonda's like, that's our music?
That's not happening.
Yeah, she is not. I don't know. She's not happy with that music. So for Rhonda,
okay.
So yeah, I will have music next week. I promise I'll have music next week.
Okay. Well, have a good night, Renee. And good night, everyone. We love you. And we're back.
We love you.
Okay.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.